T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is
the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree.
Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eagers Heating and Air Conditioning.
I'm not just running against Joe Biden. I'm running against the left-wing mob and the left-wing media.
The media hates Trump so much that they're propping up a person who they have to know couldn't possibly be president of the United States.
You need to vote for Donald Trump because of what's going on in Philadelphia right now.
If you want to know what it's like to live in an aristocracy, I mean, just open your eyes. This is it.
Some of you don't trust we're acting in good faith.
Who the hell elected you?
Thank God for Senator Josh Hawley. Can I just tell you that this guy has brought a refreshing breath of air to Washington, D.C.? Honestly. I'll just go out there and say it. His handling of the big tech issue, he's been on this like a bulldog all along, and a lot of people, me included, have not paid nearly enough attention to it. Welcome back into the show. Glad you are with us. It is Thursday. I'm Mark Cox, and in here with Tricia and Denise, and couldn't be happier that you're with us today.
I agree with all of those facts you just said.
Thank you.
I'm here. You're here.
I mean, I'm driving.
You are Mark Cox. You are Denise.
I'm driving into work today. Uh-huh. I see this guy standing on the street corner down there. He's got his arms out. I'm looking at him.
To work today, like this morning?
Long hair. He's got a beard. Is that Jesus?
I see where you're going with this.
Oh.
And then I slowed down. I started to roll the window down. I get a little closer, and I'm like, no. Dude looks more like Charles Manson. That's what I was thinking.
To fiction.
And then I rolled the window down a little further, and then I got a whiff of him, and he smelled like the Unabomber. But then I realized
what
it was just Jack Dorsey.
What does smell like?
Oh, awful. Doesn't shower. Has a long, scraggly beard.
We were doing so good with facts. It is Thursday.
I assume that the Unabomber smells bad, okay?
Probably smells bad these days. I think he's dead, isn't he? Anyway, it was Jack Dorsey, because the richest man in the world looks like a homeless guy I'd run into on the streets in downtown St. Louis at 4:30 in the morning.
That is a fact.
Honestly. And plus arrogant enough to try to mix it up with Senator Hawley and Senator Cruz yesterday, and they were having none of it. Go to cut one and let the people hear Senator Hawley, please.
You know, if you want to know what it's like to live in an aristocracy, I mean, just open your eyes. This is it. I mean, we're one tiny group of, in Jack Dorsey's case, really weird people control what we're allowed to say, what we're allowed to share, who's allowed to report on what. I mean, it's just absolutely ludicrous. It really is modern day aristocracy, and it's going to continue until Congress stops it, which is why Congress has got to act and do it now.
Yeah. Thank you, Senator Hawley. I appreciate that. Senator Cruz very strong in that yesterday too. If you missed it, so that was important. That happened yesterday. The president's all over the place trying to get the final stretch and just drive home to people what's at stake in this election. And boy, has there ever been more at stake in this election? Here we are, telling big tech you can't censor the truth just because you disagree with the point of view and you're afraid it'll hurt your candidate. The president made that point yesterday. Go to cut number 15, please.
You know, tremendous corruption on behalf of the Biden. Tremendous. Do you know you can't find it anywhere in the media other than the New York Post, which I'm very proud of, and they endorsed me the other day, too, by the way. But you can't find it anywhere in the media, anywhere.
So the president's in two different states again today, including Florida. I think Sleepy Joe's going to follow him down there with his group of 10 or 15 people that follow him around. He's in the sprint to the finish, just like he did in 2016. And the numbers have turned well in his favor in many of these swing states. So don't despair. Make sure you're getting your friends and your family and you're getting out to vote. Call them. If you know anybody in Michigan or Wisconsin or Pennsylvania, I got a cousin up in Michigan. I'm going to have to message her this afternoon.
Yes, you
do. I don't even know where she is on the political spectrum. I'll be honest with you. I know her husband worked for the government at some point, but I'm anxious to just say, hey, have you voted? Make sure you vote.
I bet she's anxious to get that text from you.
Oh, my God. I'll bet she is, too.
I bet she can't wait.
She's waiting. It'll be almost as awesome as the video I reposted of Ted Nugent from that from when he played the national anthem for the president the other day up in Michigan. That guy is fantastic. Can I just say that? Thank God for Uncle Ted. We appreciate him. We do. Hey, is Yadier Molina leaving the Cardinals?
Say it.
He's a free agent. It could happen. We will pick the brain of one sports aficionado, Tom Ackerman, coming up. In the bottom of the hour, I got Dr. Randy Tobler. Stay tuned.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
A great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball's really not a hard sport.
Tom Ackerman, thank you for that insight.
It is Anchorman, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Tom Ackerman, what do you do when your future Hall of Famer is a free agent and every Cardinals fan is holding their breath?
Yeah, I think what you're going to find out if you're the Cardinals is that in the next few days, more people will speak out and say, you've got to bring back Yadier Molina. and Adam Wainwright, but certainly Yadier Molina's name is going to come up. Now, the big news yesterday was that the Cardinals announced, and John Mozeliak did a long Zoom call with the media, and the first thing out of his mouth was, we are declining the option on Colton Wong. So that changed a few things, too, and opened up more questions. Wong was to be paid $12.5 million on that option, and there's a $1 million buyout, basically. So they pay him $1 million to go become a free agent. So he's now a free agent also. So what does that mean? Does that mean that the Cardinals are reducing their payroll and they're not going to add anything? Or do you believe John Mozeliak when he says that $11.5 million creates instant flexibility for them? I think it's somewhere in between. I think that what we may have seen there is that you lost Colton Wong, but you have the ability to bring back Yadi and Waino at the expense of Wong. Or it could be that somebody, is there a chance that in the open market, which is where Yadi and Waino are right now, and it does seem like the two could be a package deal. You know, the two could go together somewhere, right? I mean, they're linked together. They love each other. I think that will be here. But does another team in the open market go heavy after Yadi, Waino, or both, offer them a big deal? Yadi wants 2 years, and he was making $20 million a year. Does a team do that? Does a team have a need for that? I kind of feel like the Cardinals are hoping, I don't want to say gambling, but hoping that that doesn't happen and that they have the ability to bring Yadi back at a reasonable price that both sides can agree on. We all know this. Yadier Molina is much more than a baseball player. He is the face of the franchise. He is the reason a lot of people watch, listen, and go to games. He is also a terrific player still. He can handle a pitching staff. He's still a clutch hitter. Yes, his numbers are down. His metrics are down. He's 38 years old. He's not the player that he was when he was 28. But he is a heck of a player, and the Cardinals need him. They have a very good catcher waiting in Andrew Kisner. Good receiver, good hitter, young kid, positive, fun, good teammate, all of those things. He's not Yadier Molina, and I think that, you know, there's a real chance. I still think in my mind that Yadi will come back. I think that Waino would come back also. And by the way, he still has a lot left in the tank. But the Cardinals need more than that, Mark. That's yes. The thing. They need a bat. They need offense. They need a spark. They need to give their fan base some hope that things are going to continue to improve. And I don't think they ever take that fan base for granted. Sometimes it might seem to a naysayer or a pessimist that, or a cynic, I should say, that the Cardinals just sort of move right along and don't care. They're just all about business and they just want to be competitive and build Ballpark Village. That's not really the case. They care deeply about winning, about their fans, about being a marketing machine, about bringing people and having their brand at top of mind. And I would be very surprised if this offseason they did not act on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think you're right. I think they've they've got to be having conversations. How can we do this smartly but make sure that Yadi retires as a Cardinal? Because it happens so rarely these days, right? And that's I'm right. Sure Waino is probably right in that same conversation. But we'll see what happens.
And the question you have to ask yourself is, like, what do the Cardinals think about 2021, 22, 23 also and beyond, and how will they continue to thrive? And they need to be exciting. I mean, if you bring back Yadi and Waino, that is extremely important to their legacy. They're always going to be. They're going to be Cardinals Hall of Famers, and Yadi's going to go into Cooperstown, and they're going to wear the red jackets and all of that stuff. And it's awesome. But breaking up that continuity is tough, and it's a hit immediately, I think, to the fan base. I don't think that that will help. And at the same time, you want to have a team that's exciting, and, Mark, they've got to add offense to do it. And if they can't find it internally, and they already traded Randy Arozarena, who went on to become Babe Ruth, and John Mozeliak said, that's on me, you know, I'll take the hit for that, basically, is what he's saying. They have to reevaluate what they have and look at their own talent in a different way. And, you know, the postseason was exciting. There were some very exciting teams out there. I'm not sure the Cardinals were one of them. I mean, they won one game against the Padres and then lost in three games. It was a good series. But are the Cardinals one of those teams that comes in where you make an appointment just to watch their batting order do their thing? I don't know that that's the case. Dylan Carlson's going to be a star. Paul Goldschmidt's a really, really good hitter. Paul DeJong has potential to be, but beyond that, you know, they've got to prove that they can put out a lineup that can make some noise.
All of baseball's got a challenge. I saw the ratings for the World Series for the Dodgers for the final game, 12 million people compared to the last one, which had 23 million people. That's half. They said it was 33% below the lowest rated World Series games.
Yeah, that's not good.
Final.
No, that's not good. I think certainly not having an East Coast team hurts. Not having Yankees, Red Sox, or even Phillies, or you know, a team on the East Coast for that matter. Tampa Bay does not really count.
Well, they're
in
sort
that
of
way.
On the East Coast.
They are, but they don't have the fan base the appeal like a you know in the Midwest, Cubs, Cardinals. You know, you didn't have a giant to match the Dodgers from a ratings standpoint. How I mean, Yankees Dodgers would have done extremely, extremely well. I mean, I think so, but there's still an issue. Yes, that's too much of a dip, and baseball has an issue that it needs to solve. And I think it definitely put a sour taste in people's mouths this year with the union labor negotiations that the union negotiations in the off season with, you know. Were they going to play? Were they not going to play? The pandemic certainly doesn't help either. But, you know, baseball just had a tough year. And at the same time, I thought the postseason was an exciting product. I really did. I thought that the teams, and there's potential to have. I mean, if I'm baseball, I prop up the San Diego Padres. I market the heck out of them. They're fun. They have a blast. You know, we have to move forward here in this sport and look at the young fans that are coming up who are going to eventually throw down the dollars and say, you better make this exciting and fun. I mean, enough of this, you know, old school, unwritten rules stuff. You got to let it loose and have fun and break out a little bit.
Well, that's true. But, you know, I'm listening as I'm driving in this morning to a national radio broadcast, I won't say on which channel, and I'm listening to their analysis of this and how low the ratings were, and the reporter intentionally just didn't go there. It's not clear why the ratings were so low on the World Series this year, but it may be a combination of the pandemic and the fact that we're in an election year. Hogwash. That's hogwash.
No.
They completely, you know, sort of just pasted over the fact that the beginning of the season there was some controversy. Now, given not as much in baseball as it was in Major League basketball, the NBA and the NFL, but I still think there were fans out there that were a little disgruntled over the way baseball handled that. And I think the NBA saw a similar dip, and I don't think it had anything to do with the pandemic or an election year.
Well, I think those things are very real. I think that, you know, you have fans on both sides, just like you said. So I think you have to make sure that you're putting out something that everybody can enjoy. At the same time, Mark, I do believe that sports has to absorb the fact that it is a platform for athletes. It is a platform for voices. It is a way for them to express themselves, and it is.
We'll agree to disagree on that one.
I don't think it is because
no, but it is a platform. Like it is. It is a. I'm not saying that. You know. That I can't sit here and say that they should not use it as a platform to say something socially. I mean, like they should be prohibited from doing that.
I support their right to their First Amendment. Let them walk outside of the stadium and do it when the game's over, and they don't have to do it before the game to try to poke at people that disagree with them. That's kind of how it came across. That's their problem.
I certainly acknowledge the fact that, you know, fans are going to disagree, and fans are going to disagree, and you have a massive fan base of so many sports, and with that, you're going to have different viewpoints. It's just, you know, there's no doubt about that. I think that mostly, though, I think this is about creating something that people can escape and enjoy and be entertained with. And that is baseball's big project here, is how do they adapt, change with the times, and be America's pastime.
Tom Ackerman, thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If you vote for Biden, it means no kids in school, no graduations, no weddings, no Thanksgiving, no Christmas, and no 4th of July together. Other than that, you have a wonderful life.
Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list.
Dr. Randy Tobler joining us this morning. And Randy, I've never seen a man work harder than Donald Trump does in general, but particularly this last 4 or 5 days heading into the election.
This is unbelievable. I mean, this guy is going just like an ever ready bunny. I mean, he was this way in 2016, and he's, I think, meeting and exceeding those kind of work ethics this year, and that is just inspiring. I mean, I don't know how anyone, despite what you may think about some of his bombastic attitude and demeanor and the tweets and all the rest of it, anyone has to look at this guy and say, wow, that I had that much energy and that much drive. And yes, you know, especially in contrast with the negativity and the fear and the dark winter that is Joe Biden, the positive attitude and that optimism, and that is just so fundamentally American. I mean, it just at its core, it's just great to see.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I do need to kind of update people on some breaking news that's going on right now. There was a terrorist attack in Nice, France. Now, Nice is the city in France where the guy drove the truck through the festival that time and killed all those people. Mm-hmm. Also a terrorist attack. It's amazing to me how many major media outlets covering this have to hedge whether or not it was a terrorist attack. A guy attacked three people, killed three of them, two of them in a church, and beheaded one of them while screaming Allahu Akbar. But we have to hedge whether or not this was a radical Islamic terrorist attack in France. Al Jazeera went so far as to suggest that right-wingers are trying to attack Islam over this. Are you kidding me? Here we go again.
I think it was a Russian collusion, probably, everything else.
Yeah.
But you know what? It wouldn't have killed three people if only the police would have listened to Joe Biden's debate advice and shot him in the leg. I mean, that it would have been all over, Mark. There wouldn't have been a problem. No one would have been beheaded if they would have just shot him in the leg.
Well, they did. He's alive. They shot him in the shoulder. So apparently they're bad shots. Somebody in France had a gun, and they shot him in the shoulder. So he's alive, getting medical treatment in a hospital.
Yeah, well, I hope he gets his eggs Benedict. Of course, I guess it's past breakfast time there in Nice, isn't it? So
where do we go here? I mean, honestly, I have to read this because it's driving me crazy. This is how they're reporting this in Europe, on Al Jazeera, which is not, I know it's Al Jazeera, comes out of Qatar. I understand that. It was not immediately clear what the motive was for the Nice attack, or if there was any connection to some cartoons that were published recently, which Muslims consider deeply offensive. But a lot of citizens have claimed that this was terrorism. That has prompted an outpouring of anger in parts of the Muslim world. And, yeah, and unbelievable. People link this to terrorism, which Muslims find deeply offensive. That's how Al Jazeera is reporting the story this morning.
Yeah, the world's been tipped on its head. There is no, well, there is no true north in terms of morals or absolute rights or wrongs, right? We've become such a relativistic society, and I mean globally, except for small enclaves of religious godlike behavior, and I don't mean the Muslim jihadist. And so that's a big problem. But, you know, if you think about what's going on in our country, Mark, I mean, there's almost as much lunacy, right? I mean, a guy that attacks police officers with a knife gets killed the other day appropriately, and all they can talk about is the fact, well, he had some mental illness, and he was a father, and he was a brother, and he used to have turtles in it when he was a kid, and he loved to play with pinwheels. You know, I mean, what? I don't know. There's no right and wrong. There's no ability of, you know, suddenly this guy is like an innocent victim when he's coming after police officers with a knife. And I've been thinking an awful lot about, you can talk about Biden and Trump and Harris and the Schumer and Amy Coney Barrett and all of the conflicting thoughts that people are having in this political season, Mark. But you look at historically at the age of republics that start out with freedom and how as freedom is usually results in prosperity, and then prosperity results in lassitude and complacency. And you see the rise of all kinds of crazy, crazy, not only personal immoral behavior, the justification of criminality. You saw it in the Greeks. You see it in the Romans. You see it in all cultures that had some element of freedom that led to their greatness. And then as they had demise, they fell apart because of the very kind of cultural lack of compass that we see now. And I'm just wondering, I mean, in the average age is somewhere between 200 and 300 years for most of those successful empires. Are we on the end of it? Are we nearing the end? I mean, is the journey over? And is this going to be the last stop, you know, at the Stuckey's where we can get our last pecan log roll, and that was Donald Trump, and now it's all over, and there's a desert ahead of us, and we don't have enough gas in the tank to get to the oasis on the other side? I don't know, Mark. I mean, I don't want to be Joe Biden here, but if you look historically at what's going on, and now we hear about a cash crisis because of the lockdown, the short lockdown we had, and the market is swooning. And then if the Democrats get in and they will spend money, whether there's cash in the treasury or not, and you're talking, you know, everyone was talking about Venezuela. All of us on the right have been pointing to that as the ultimate, you know, end of socialism. We're going to be there sooner than we think if Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi lead this country. I mean, we're going to be there sooner than
Randy,
you think.
Randy, it's profound, and your point is perfectly taken. And it's I've said this so many times the last few days that's what's at stake here on Tuesday. It's not whether Donald Trump tweets too much or you don't like what he says on the campaign stump about somebody on the other side. It's about whether we continue to stand for freedom in this country and what's right, or we slide towards socialism. And the best image you can conjure up to that is the cover of Vanity Fair yesterday, where the brainless AOC is featured slamming the president while wearing a $14,000 wardrobe. That's where we're going. Yeah. That's what the popular culture in this country wants to celebrate.
Yeah, and I heard your bit about Jack Dorsey, and it caught me. It was hilarious. I mean, it was a great wake up this morning. It was fabulous. I heard that, and I got to thinking at the same time. And I didn't hear all of the testimony yesterday, but I did appreciate what the senators were coming at him with. I thought it was powerful. They were certainly in the driver's seat, and he was on the defensive. That said, I would have loved to hear a senator say, you know, everyone here, and we tend to want to paint you guys as a bunch of power mongers and political brokers and election makers or breakers. But you know what? You're cowards. You're cowards, because what made America great was the ability for Lincoln and Douglas to get on that stage and duke it out without moderators, without influence, without a debate commission, without the League of Women Voters. And they just did it. And throughout history, we have been a rock'em sock'em, fist on the table. I'm going to tell you what I think. You tell me what you think. And when it's all over, we're going to go play beer and drink beer and root for the Cardinals. And you are cowards, Jack Dorsey and Mark Zuckerberg, because you're afraid to let the truth speak out and let freedom ring in the voices and the tweets and the Facebook posts of your constituents. Shame on you, you cowards.
I love it.
That's the kind of talk we need to hear. If whether we win or lose this election, let's call all of the people that want to shut down the hundreds of thousands, the millions of, as this economy gets shut down and gets stifled in various blue enclaves and perhaps the whole country if a Harris-Biden administration results, and ask them how, even if they voted for Biden, how that's working out for you now. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're going to go on welfare, are you? You're going to go on the Obamacare exchange and Medicare for all? Well, I can tell you as a physician and someone running a hospital, Medicare for all is going to be no care for anyone. There will be no funding for Medicare or Social Security or welfare or food stamps when there aren't businesses to propel the welfare state. And so that's what we have to think about, whether you're a worker who's always got his fist up against the man, and workers should and have always thought that way. Oh, that boss of mine, how come he's got a yacht and I don't? Okay, I get it. But workers used to realize that they had a chance of having their own yacht someday. That chance is dashed if we have blue leading all of Washington, D.C. this election. And it's time for them to think about the logical consequences of a Biden vote. Don't buy the hook, line, and sinker. We're going to take from the man and give to you. Because guess what? When the man's business is boarded by Biden, there ain't nothing to give to the guy working the front line on the cook line.
Words of wisdom. Randy Tober, thank you so much, my friend. We'll be listening on Saturday morning.
Talk to you later.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Dr. Randy Tober, The Tober Show, every Saturday right here on 971 FM Talk. Be sure and tune in for that. Went a little long there. Let me get to a break. 314-241-9797.
Trump here. If you're feeding a person a crap sandwich with a smile, it's still a crap sandwich.
Amen, Mr. President. Thank you for that, and good luck on the trail today. Going to be busy. He's either always freezing in Michigan, or he was burning up in Arizona yesterday. We said he was about to get a sunburn. Now he's going to Florida, North Carolina. He's going to deliver this, folks, and there's going to be a lot of crying and moaning when we finally get the final results. Did you see where Nordstrom Rack was boarding up its building?
Yes.
Is that not a little offensive?
It's a little odd, isn't it?
Why do you think they would do that? So if Joe Biden wins, will there be riots? The belief is no, because the people that support Trump are not going to take to the streets because they're unhappy with the outcome of an election. We're the ones with common sense. So if they're boarding that up,
businesses believe Trump's going to win.
They must believe Trump is going to win, and therefore the crybabies will throw their adult temper tantrums and try to loot and burn as a result of the fact that they didn't get what they want. That's the only conclusion I can draw from it.
That is a statement and a conversation and a headline that could only happen in 2020. I cannot imagine this godforsaken year. Businesses are boarding up because they're scared of the inevitable, in my opinion, outcome of this election is insane.
Yeah.
Boarding them up
because yeah. In... Yes.
5 days out, 4 days out, whatever.
Holy moly.
I don't know. There's no words.
Hey, the crayons and the safe spaces are being prepared. Don't you worry. 314-241-9797. Senator Jim Talent and Stacey on the right coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.